I would want them all to be in the same room and have a really frank and full discussion in the next couple of weeks, just so they're on that page that actually allows them to play great footy next year, not look over their shoulders and wondering if the coach wanted them in the first place or he's going to tip them in the second place.
He should have been hauled off, I reckon, about 10 balls before that. He actually showed a real lack of intent to actually even try and score.
I said, "Oh, Dennis, let's let you know that I think it's time. I'm going to pull the pin and retire." He paused for a bit. He looked at me and says, "Geez, I think you made the right call."
You can bugger off, Mark. If you want to close the borders for the rest of the country, the Ashes tests should go to Hobart.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Friday Forum.
What a weekend of sport it promises to be. Let's welcome in the Forum team. Andrew Mays, welcome back to RSN Central.
Thank you. Can't wait for the Cox Plate. Yes. Can't wait for what's coming up over the next few weeks with the Spring Carnival. 19th of October, you threw me there off the top.
I'll tell you what, you throw me under the bus here. Yeah, you throw me under the bus. Unbelievable to kick off proceedings here. Maisie, hello to you, Nicholas Quinn.
The worst thing is I didn't even pick up on it, to be honest. So Maisie's much sharper than both of us. But it's going to be an interesting few weeks of sport coming up. It feels like it's almost a bit of a calm before the storm, doesn't it, with the cricket just around the corner.
And it doesn't really stop, does it, sport these days, especially the racing game. We've got country cups, you've got the railway stakes across there in Perth at Group 1 level, the biggest night in greyhound racing, or one of the biggest nights anyway tonight with the heats of the Melbourne Cup, Breeders' Crown weekend in the trots, the Ashes is just around the corner. For sporting fans, there's no real breather these days, Maisie.
No, and I remember, I mean, I've been at Oaks Day plenty of times when that has traditionally been the start of the cricket season. And so racing has been competing for page space from that early November time. But it's actually been a fantastic clear air over the last 3 or 4 weeks. So we've taken in, you know, the major carnivals at Caulfield, obviously with no fans, so it'll be great for them to get back to the track in a couple of weeks. But then to have Cox Plate Day and also the Flemington Carnival, essentially not competing against anything, it's been absolutely brilliant. Racing's actually got the recognition it should.
0416 90 50 52. And we've got, of course, next week, Sipping Classic Day. And we'll be giving away some free tickets starting next week. So
can I enter?
Yes, you can enter now, Maisie. And I think they'll get a big crowd there, especially with Jamie Carback, Spanish Mission going around there, Surprise Baby, another draw card for the MRC. So I think it's been a tick for them with the crowds allowed to come back.
And a lot of those horses have probably taken a deep breath and, as you said, have a bit of a freshen up. So the fields will be terrific. It feels like the spring has been extended. And who knows, down the track, could it be a new race day for the Caulfield Cup?
No, it won't be. Unless the Melbourne Cup moves, I don't think you can have the Caulfield Cup.
The Melbourne Cup.
After the Melbourne Cup, no. 0416 90 50 52. Would you like to see that, Quinny?
No, just throwing it out there. Smarter minds than me do the scheduling.
Do you think it might happen? You've got to bring something to the Friday Forum.
Well, I just did. I said it could be the new Caulfield Cup date one day.
Well, we were down at Cranbourne the other week, Gareth, and the fact that the interest around those races will just get bigger and bigger with, obviously, Zipping Classic Day being built up in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. I actually think it's not a bad lead in it. I don't mind it the way it is, to be honest, in terms of that nice carnival atmosphere and having a genuine race to build it around on that last day in spring, in inverted commas.
I think for the spring carnival, say for Zipping Classic Day right now, that's the final day. I think if you go into December, it's just a little bit too late. People are thinking about Christmas. They've got Christmas parties. They've got other things that they can do. I think next Saturday is the final cutoff date if you want to have one of the big races.
And it's just worked out perfectly, hasn't it? The way it's going to be aligned with crowds being back, the fact that, as you alluded to, all those draw cards with Jamie Carr back and these terrific horses. So I cannot wait for it. And it's really stretched the spring out nicely to a magnificent finale.
I was in the pub there last night. I was having a beer and I was thinking, finally, maybe this is all over. We're at the other end. 90% of Victorians are now vaccinated, that we can live a normal life. And then you wake up this morning and you see that the Sheffield Shield match between Victoria and New South Wales has been postponed because Will Sutherland has tested positive to COVID-19. But they are retesting him once again. So they're in self-isolation, the Victorian side, in New South Wales at the moment. Maisie, you're about to go into the inner sanctum of an elite sports site now with the Melbourne Stars. How difficult is it going to be for the big bash competition, racing, AFL, NRL, the A-League starts this weekend? there will be, will there be players that will just miss, like we've seen in the NBA, where you have 6 days off or 7 days off if you've tested positive to COVID?
Yeah.
And then your side can continue to play on. Will that be the case here?
I think so. It's going to be really difficult to manage, I think, until about, regardless of WA, your old mob over there, I'm not quite sure what they're doing, but regardless of WA, I think the rest of Australia is sort of on track to be pretty normal from January onwards. So that obviously is going to pose a challenge for Big Bash teams in the first half of the season. For A-League, it's going to be really difficult, because, again, you've got the Perth Glory as part of that competition. It's going to be something that they're going to have to deal with, unfortunately, for the next little while. But until, as I said before, until this isolation stops or it's not a requirement to go into 7 days isolation. So you take the positive case in the Victorian Shield side. Does that mean that all Shield players now have to serve 7 days, if, you know, or is it 7 or 10? I think they've changed it to 10.
So what would have happened if George Bailey and the selection team said, okay, Marcus Harris, have another run for the Vics?
Yeah. Yeah, like, exactly.
He doesn't play in that first test.
Yeah.
So does that mean they'll just tighten up right on the bubble there for the test players from now on?
Maybe the test players, but I think from the mental side of things, you can't have the rest of Australia operating as per normal and then elite sports people having to live this completely sheltered life, because they've had to do that for 2 years. No, we've all been through it, but they've also been, when we've been out of lockdown, they've been in stricter lockdown.
It's going to be a nightmare for your sports betting as you try to predict the future here, Nicholas.
Yeah, it will be, especially if players come out or games get moved and whatnot. But unfortunately, it's just the world we live in and we have to probably adapt. And the American sports have been so good at that. They've been pivoting left and right to ensure that the seasons go on. And as you alluded to, some of these players just have to miss games. And unfortunately, it's now no different to a concussion or a hamstring, where we do see the injury reports come through and players are out with COVID.
Well, it's going to be fascinating too in the NRL, because they haven't mandated vaccinations.
Well, Peter Volandis believes, and I'm a fan of Pete Volandis, but it's like he's, there's the government. Yeah, there's their government and their protocols, and then there's Pete's protocols. And he thinks, well, if the government won't let me do that, well, I'll make them do that. And that's been his attitude throughout his career, especially when he's been at Racing New South Wales and now as the chair of the NRL.
But to jump on a plane, you're going to have to be double vaxxed.
Yeah.
So that makes it very, if there's, say, a group of 20 players, or it could be 50, or it could be 5, but they're not going anywhere in the NRL.
It's madness at the moment, because you've got Dan Andrews on Sunrise saying that if you're double vaxxed, that science tells you that you're a lesser chance of spreading it, you're a lesser chance of getting it. And then you've got Pete Volandi saying, well, it doesn't matter if you're vaxxed, double vaxxed or not, you still can carry the virus. So it's just a little confusing at the moment, Nicholas. Who do you believe?
Jeez, we're in over our skis here. I thought we were going to be talking sport and look at the topics that have come up. But it will be interesting, Maisie, in your new role, all the little challenges that you do face. And hopefully in 12 months' time, this isn't one of them.
Well, it'll be interesting to see whether, because I know with the Australian cricket team, they're all still operating on Zoom press conferences, for instance. We saw yesterday that there was a few of the Aussie guys who'd returned from the World Cup. That's another farce as well. So if you flew back into Melbourne, you didn't have to quarantine from the World Cup. But if you flew back into Brisbane, you had to do 2 weeks. So the inconsistency from state to state is just going to be around for a while.
Now, Gareth, it's well documented that the Melbourne Stars have maybe got a little tight around the neck when it comes to some of these finals. They've never won a Big Bash Grand Final, despite the fact they've had the best team on paper multiple times. What will you personally be doing to ensure that the Stars can get the trophy this time around, and how much of the credit will you take should they win the Grand Final?
No, I'll take absolutely all of it. I hope that their Stars can fire. Because that's the key in any Big Bash tournament, any T20 tournament. If your Stars play well, you're a massive chance to win it. And so that's, at the end of the day, to have three World Cup winners who've come fresh off the plane back to Australia, they're going to be the draw cards for kids and crowds, and they're also going to be the draw cards for hopefully getting the wins on the board.
It'd be interesting to see the access that you give to RSN927, Maisie. Are you looking forward to being on the other side of the line here, really, when you have to be nice to journalists, or you can be arrogant to journalists?
No, sitting on this side of the fence, it often hasn't been the case.
You can understand where the journalists are coming from now.
Absolutely, yep. I'll understand all their frustrations and I'll give them no one and lock us down.
By 11 o'clock, I want his 3-2-1 best sports teams to deal with and then worst teams to deal with since he's been working at RSN.
And don't sit on the fence, Maisie.
Yeah, really go out with a bang.
It's 10:45, Gareth. All Nicholas Quinn and Andrew Mays with you. This is the Friday Forum. We'll talk some NFL, we'll talk some NBL, we'll talk some A-League, we'll talk some NBA as well, and of course we'll talk some racing straight after this.
Your chance to be involved. The Friday Forum.
10:47, Gareth Hall, Andrew Mays and Nicholas Quinn with you on the Forum. Geez, I loved hearing Simon Goodwin on the Breakfast Club this morning. He spoke so well. And I love his philosophies on life these days. He seems to me just be a wonderful coach to play under, Quinny.
And I reckon the best time for a premiership coach would be sort of the month or two after you've won the flag, where the Demon supporters are still celebrating each and every day, and before they really get back into the grind looking to next season. And he almost just felt like he had the weight of the world lifted off his shoulders, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? And he was brave and he was vulnerable over the last, 18 months. And I found it interesting that he believed, even though that they struggled in 2020, he believed that they were on the right track. They had a disappointing year in 2019 when he said they didn't prepare as well as they should, and they were punished for that. They made inroads there in 2020 despite not playing in the finals, and then they put it all together last year, or this year, of course, and the rest is history.
And it'll be fascinating to see how they go next year. I think it's starting in the obvious, but they should be one of the teams up there when the whips are cracking. And do we think it'll be relatively similar, the top four, to what we saw this year? I think Richmond could bounce back.
Yep, who knows?
Carlton, your Blues?
No, I don't think so, not yet.
Bombers?
Bombers.
Nah, not convinced.
I don't know. Do you know what I love at the moment? When you see some of the experts out there in the AFL, and they've probably had their little bit of a break, and they might get interviewed from time to time, and the Herald Sun, Ralphie might do a column in the paper, and they're already trying to predict what's going to happen next year in 2022. Now, my premiership favourites this year or in 2022 are Richmond or Melbourne or Carlton or Brisbane, but at the end of the day, no one really has a clue right now.
No. No. Pre-season is a very, very important time. You lose two key players or three key players and your whole season can shift.
It's like someone trying to ask Quinny, who's your tip in next year's Melbourne Cup?
Yep.
Like, if you're betting into the future markets now, and I know we're sponsored by the Tab, you can if you've got a favourite horse, but it's nearly impossible, isn't it?
Probably incentivise.
Yeah, that's a very good point you made.
Hey, you had some?
One of the great stories that I've read in quite some time is that the North Melbourne Football Club are debt-free. They've come a long way in just over a decade now, since 2009, when James Brayshaw took over and said that the club needed to stand on their own feet, and they're doing that right now. So well done to the Kangaroos. They had a bit of a celebration and a media conference today, and for the first ever time, Danielle Laidley spoke. And I thought that was great. She spoke alongside David Noble and also Brad Scott. So the last three coaches in that era for the North Melbourne Football Club, well done to Danielle. That would have took a lot of courage, and she's been brave. She looks like now she's accepted. She's comfortable who she is now. And well done to Danielle.
And Bren Harvey, one of the regulars on RSN, speaks absolutely glowingly about his time under Laidley. And yeah, it's good to see.
It'd be great to see her back coaching, maybe, Danielle.
Well, it's an option now for a lot of coaches.
Yeah,
for a lot of coaching groups. I think because she hasn't really been involved in footy over the last couple of years. So whether that affects a chance, or even whether she'd want to do it again, I don't know.
She's going to be a fascinating interview. I don't know if 60 Minutes are organising an interview with her right now, but
she should be a Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we can.
Friday Forum.
She'd be great, your story, yeah.
Maddie Nevitt out the back for next week.
We'll see what we can do. Just with football, the draft. Do you think that we need to do a lot more in trying to promote the young kids going through the under-18 competition so that footballing fans can understand who their clubs are picking up? Or do you think that I might be out of that bubble a little bit, that we do enough to promote the younger kids coming through the ranks that might be drafted this weekend.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because you look at America and they're all household names by the time they get drafted because they've played college and the college is absolutely huge. The difference is, though, they go to college at 18 and they'll enter the NBA after 1 year or the NFL after 4 years. So they're in their early 20s and you've got a better hold on how good they are and what they're like as people, where they're just so young going into the AFL at 17 or 18. So how much pressure and attention do you want to give them at 16, 17 to put them up in the spotlight?
I reckon we've got it about right now. In terms of the coverage, yeah, I'm not sure people are going to be gravitating towards watching under 16s, under 17s, under 18s footy, even if we broadcast on Channel 7. I don't think...
Would you like to see us have a college type of competition? I know this is a bit elitist, people might say, especially the country people out there. But the best young kids get scholarships to go to a private school and you make that competition into a competition that people can follow.
No, I like the week that they do all the states and Vic Country and Vic Metro. Maybe that could get a little bit more attention going forward. But I do think it'll be fascinating in 4 or 5 years' time looking back on this draft, because I think there'll be a lot of top 10, top 20 draft picks that maybe don't work out, and then a lot of 50, 60, 70 picks that do succeed, because there's so much unknown at the moment with all these players that just haven't played footy the last 2 years in Victoria.
It's interesting. I'm looking at this year's draft, and I think there'll only be about 55 picks. So there's not some drafts go deep where there's 70, 80, 90 picks, but this one will only be around that 50 to 60 mark. I think that's probably a bit of an indication of the hesitation around taking these unproven kids. But again, the pressure on a kid who's played 5 games of footy in 2 years. I saw a bit of Nick Dacos when he was 15, 16. But he's hardly played over 2 years. So the pressure on him going to Collingwood, the name, is going
to
be massive.
It's basically, I tried to describe this to someone the other day. It's like a horse trainer and a bloodstock agent picking out weanlings instead of yearlings at this year's sale. They might look good and they might show you promise and they're bred to the purple, but it's sort of a big punt this time around because we haven't seen these players play consistently anyway. And we haven't seen some of these kids, some of the kids just jump out of the ground within 6 months. They turn into not playing in their first 18 in their school site. Then all of a sudden they're playing senior football and they've just improved out of sight.
Yeah.
That didn't happen to me, but it's happened to a few people I know.
Because you're already that good, you didn't need to improve? 100%. Is that where you're going?
Now, Quinny, we have recruited you to a Friday morning because of your expertise in the NFL, and there's already a few questions coming through. 0416 90 50 52. Atlanta, first of all, take on New England today around 12:20, I think. Geez, New England have found a new lease of life.
They're a really consistent team. They're the sort of team that has been winning all the games they should have, with the exception of Miami, where they were going to win and Harris dropped the ball going into a touchdown and Miami pinched that one. Apart from that, they've been super reliable. For mine, it was their best performance of the season last week when they beat Cleveland. And they should be too good again today against an Atlanta team who were just abysmal last week against Dallas. They lost 43-3 and the score actually flattened Atlanta because it was over a long way from home. Hopefully Matt Ryan can do a little bit more. He's been a wonderful player for the Falcons and I'd hate to see his career end by the team petering out in the second half of the season. So hopefully they can be more competitive. New England should win, but hopefully the Falcons can put up a fight.
All right, then a few questions coming through. Nick, after the Rams debacle last week, I'm off them for the Super Bowl. Now I'm thinking the Bills, your thoughts?
Yeah, I like the Bills, and I agree with that comment because I think the Rams, if they're going to make the Super Bowl, they have to win that division. If they don't win the division, they're going to be on the road the whole way, and that would involve going to Tampa Bay, going to Green Bay, and it would just be too hard, I think, for Stafford, who's never won a playoff game, to win 4 in a row on the road before they ironically would be back in LA for the Super Bowl, which is where the Super Bowl location is. So I do agree with that comment. They're $9, the Rams, for the Super Bowl. That looks unders for mine. I think the Bills and Tampa Bay are probably the two teams to beat at the moment. And the Dallas Cowboys, if they can beat Kansas City this weekend, they will firm again. They have been fantastic so far, which has been great to see.
I've got a question for you, Quinny. How do you consume the NFL?
I get up at 4:45 on a Monday, and I go on the ESPN app and put the Red Zone on, yep. and it's fantastic. It's free if you've got the Foxtel, and it's just amazing. Shows every touchdown, and you can flick between all the games if you want on there as well. So it's absolutely superb.
It's an interesting challenge going forward for all sports, Gareth. Yep. We might talk about it a little bit more after this.
All right, then, Maisie. Beautiful. Maisie, you were exploding just before.
Yeah, so in terms of consumption of sports, and every sport is going to have this challenge going into the future, is that when you watch something now, so say I'm watching, I have KO as a subscription service, and I've got Sky Racing active at home as well. So even within the Sky app, you've got different options of whether to watch the dedicated coverage that you star on every Saturday night, obviously, or you watch the dedicated coverage of Queensland, or you watch the dedicated coverage of Perth or New South Wales. So it's really interesting as to how people are going to consume things in the future, because when I have my KO subscription, and for anyone who doesn't have KO or whatever, you basically type in your favourite sports at the very start. You probably don't even realise you're doing it, so you're ticking footy, cricket, racing, whatever you love, and they will ordinarily be the first things that pop up on your screen when you flick KO on. So I've watched cricket from this year that I never thought I'd watch. You know, second 11 games from New South Wales and stuff that was on, but it's only because it's tailored to my thinking. Now, I'm not the biggest basketball fan in the world, but I never get exposed to basketball anymore at all, because back in the day, you'd have your Foxtel remote, you'd be flicking, and it might be on ESPN or it might be on SBS with them getting the NBL deal a couple of years ago. All those situations are suddenly gone.
So how do you work that out as an administrator right now?
I don't know.
So if you're the NBL boss, they've signed a deal with ESPN, and you want to deal with free-to-air TV. They're the two most important, or free-to-air TV, I still think, is really important.
Yep.
But you see it a little bit with the Trots Vision at the moment. I think HRV do a really good job.
Mm.
But they are getting the harness racing lovers to watch that because it's an extended coverage. But you still need Sky Racing One more than ever, because that's still your money channel, because that's getting people to bet on that product. And they're also betting on the other products, Quinny. So there's a fine line, really, isn't there?
Yeah, and again, it comes down to what do they want? Is it all about ratings, or is it trying to get new people to the sport, no matter what sport you're trying to promote? But that's fascinating what you said with the KO, because when you sign up, you don't even really think about it. You just tick those boxes and move on. But obviously, there's a lot of method to their madness.
Yeah, so your home screen on KO is obviously what you've ticked. So if you've ticked cricket, footy and racing, it'll often come up with any Big Bash game that's on, any footy replay that's on, and racing.com.
But it's the way of the future, really. Even when I was living in the UK, and that's nearly a decade ago, they had Chelsea TV, they had Manchester United TV. So it would rate through the roof of Manchester, but no one in London really would want to watch it.
Interestingly, though, those channels still don't have the rights to the games. So over in the UK, you can't watch Manchester United on Manchester United TV live. You can watch it in delay, so they'll replay the game afterwards, but it's still a radio commentary on TV when that's on. So, you know, maybe we'll see if you go for Carlton or Collingwood or whoever, in the future you might have a Collingwood-biased media stream that you can watch. That might be something that the AFL will explore in a few years' time. So instead of selling the rights to Channel 7 and maybe a Netflix or something like that, they might sell it to the clubs. Or it might be part of a deal with the clubs to say you can have your own commentary team, bit of a biased commentary, and pop that on.
Well, there'd be, say, in a decade's time, so the AFL won't sell their TV rights to free-to-air TV network. Instead, they will just sell their games through a KO service or have their own little channel now on Foxtel or...
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw one of the subscription services like Netflix, Amazon, whatever, buy like Thursday night footy in the future.
Don't write off the Cats next year. One last stand for the old blokes. That's from Peter. It'd be interesting. I think that will be one of the most fascinating sides to watch next year.
Gone.
No Friday fill-up for Dino. Quinny's looking after that. The Titans, the SB team, is they're still winning and we'll get Derrick Henry back. That's from Juppy from Bendigo, Quinny.
Yeah, they're ticking along very nicely. Tennessee into $10 for the Super Bowl. But there's 9 teams priced between $7 and $15. It's the most open NFL season I've seen.
As a Steelers fan, Big Ben has been wonderful, but it's depressing watching him playing now. He should have retired. Is he holding them back?
Yeah, well, he's one of the probably 15 best quarterbacks of all time, but this will probably be the last season we do see him, and it will be interesting to see what the Steelers do next season.
Yeah, was Collingwood on Foxtel? The Collingwood TV?
They had that years and years ago. They had Press Red for Ed.
Oh, okay.
Remember that?
Yeah, they did.
It was like an active type thing, which was probably a bit ahead of its time, to be honest, but not didn't rate it that
high. I've got some great news for everybody out there, and it's been pretty hot on the text message. Dino is sending through his Friday filler.
Oh, hello.
Which is great. And it's race 3, number 2, Salamanders there at Moonee Valley. Race 3, number 12, I should say.
Oh,
race 3, number 12. I better get that right. Race 3, number 12. Hey, Quinny, are you heading out to the Dogs tonight?
I am indeed.
Looking forward to it.
Taking the little bloke out tonight. It'll be good fun. $4.20 there for Dino's tip. Race 3, number 12 at the Valley. That'll be popular. But really looking forward to the Dogs tonight. And just hope a lot of those fancies can win so we get that mouth-watering grand final next week we're looking forward to.
It's like the NBA League Pass at the moment. You can pick and choose which teams, the commentary you want. And we've seen that a few times. Josh Giddey was decked, I think, by one of your men at Philadelphia.
Ala Abdennaby.
Yes.
Philadelphia commentary. Yep.
It was woeful.
It was terrible. Yep. I thought it was disgusting.
But he was commentating for the Philly fans. Yeah. And he said, Giddey's, who cares about Josh Giddey? Yeah. So we might see a little bit of that.
Well, if you watch the games through the Tab app, you get that, which I find fascinating.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. It's always on, 30 seconds delay, the Tab app, isn't it?
Is it that much? I'm not sure.
No, it's a great service still. I enjoy watching it. It's just a little nerve-wracking sometimes when you've had an NBA bet. And, and it's to the dying seconds. And do you check the NBA website or do you watch and you hang on and you walk around the office?
Watch.
And you've had 10 bucks at $1.40, but you think it's going to change your life.
When was the last time Gareth bet 10
Steph Curry?
15 years ago?
Not on his paper.
Yeah.
Steph Curry or Kevin Durant? Who's the best player in the NBA at the moment?
Right now, Steph Curry.
Mikey?
Yeah, I said it yesterday. Steph Curry is the best player in the world right now.
Yeah. If you guys want a tip, Whittington Stonex Victorian Benchmark 70 horse in a Class 2 at Grafton, race number 10. That's from Lead today.
Outstanding.
Yep. Like that.
Hey, Maisie, thanks for everything you've done for us here on RSN 927. You've been a really big help for us here on RSN Central. We are going to miss you, but you will not be a stranger.
No, it's been good fun. And thanks to all the listeners. The loyal listeners out there are the thing that keeps this place going round, and they are the most important part of this station, which has such a rich heritage. So, good luck and thank you.
Good luck with the Melbourne Stars. You better give us the better player too when RSN Central. I know that we're down the pecking order.
Yeah, you might be fighting with the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, Maisie, Gareth here, direct light. I might just go straight to Finchie myself. He plays for the Renegades, doesn't he?
You can have Finchie.
Good start.
Yep. Maxie Hooley here. Maisie said.
We've got a few. Yep. A few good ones this year. Joe Burns.
Oh, Burnsy. Yep, know him well. Burnsy, he's a bit different, isn't he?
Zampa?
Yeah.
Stoinis?
Sampa's got a great... I've really enjoyed watching Sampa, Stoinis and Mitch Marsh dancing.
Yes.
Unique characters.
Well, if they're allowed, we'll try and get them in and they can do some dancing.
Beautiful.
On the Friday.
Love it. Hey, Quinny, what's your best over the weekend?
I am very keen on Malkovich tomorrow. Hopefully it's third time lucky this preparation. First up was going to win the jockey, dropped the whip. Last start at Flemington looked home for all money before being pipped late by Halvorsen. Looks well placed to win at Kembla Grange tomorrow.
I've got a multi. Someone texted me today. It's the Dogs and Trots tonight. Stanley Road, Kenny the Brute, Koblenz, Webleck Blazer, Enamorta. I think it goes around in the second race of Bendigo Twilight. It's at $1.50. And Tango Tara the place.
What odds?
I think they could get around $33 for that.
Wow. And if you want to follow the interviews, Mick Kent Jr., very confident this morning with Michael Felgate, race 3, number 11, Perceptive, who's been well back now with $3.70 chance in from $5. But he was very bullish.
Quinny, look forward to chatting all things sport, but especially NFL. It's been a big hit on the text messages today, so you'll be joining us each and every Friday. Welcome to the team.
Thank you very much,
and
Gareth.
And Maisie, we'll definitely get you back when you can fit us into your busy schedule these days.
I'll do my best.
Good on you. There's Andrew Mays, Nicholas Quinn, and that is the Friday Forum here on this Friday, of course. It's 7 minutes past 11. Coming up next, Dean Evans from Winning Edge Investments. He's been terrific for us all spring carnival, and he'll take a close look at the gong.